Well, it's a privilege to be in the pulpit here this morning at Newtown Evangelical Church. I bring greetings from my home fellowship, Heath Evangelical in Cardiff, as we work together in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been a joy to have my son lead the service, and it's all of grace. I'm here by the grace of God. And if you'd known Ben as an older teenager, it's by the grace of God that he is an elder in your church, and by his grace that he was leading this morning. But thanks be to God for his great grace and his mercy towards us. And I want to, on behalf of my wife and I, thank you for the fellowship we've enjoyed here over the years. We own a static caravan in the hills outside Carsus, and often come here when we have time off and time away and holidays, and this has been a real oasis to us over the years. But I want to bring to us this passage towards the end of Luke chapter 4 and to focus on verse 38 to the end of the chapter. It's the Sabbath day, and we'll also go into the Sabbath evening and the following day. So I understand it's a Saturday in the old Jewish Sabbath, but for us it's a Sunday because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But it's been a busy day in the synagogue, and what a day it has been. And verse 38 tells us he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But what a service he had left. He's been preaching there as the Lord Jesus Christ, and the congregation had been amazed at the things that he had to say. Here was a preacher who spoke with authority and with great power, and the people are stunned. He's still a young man. He's around about the age of 30, and they're amazed at the power and the authority that comes from this young man. And what a day. But during the service, something quite extraordinary happens that they're not used to. There's a man who's been possessed for some time by an evil spirit. Now, evil spirits, we need to understand the background. They were formerly angels in the realms of glory. But there was a rebellion in heaven. And the chief archangel there, a man called, an angel called Lucifer, that means son of the dawn, he rebelled against God, and along with a third of the legions of angels, he was cast down to planet Earth. And these are evil spirits. They're generally invisible, but they're able to influence. They're able to cause mischief. They're able to actually possess a human being. And particularly in Old Testament times and in dark parts of the world where the gospel is not heard, so still today, these things are not uncommon. But there's one man in the synagogue service that day, and as Jesus Christ is speaking, the demon, he recognizes Jesus. He's seen him before. Ha! I know who you are. I've seen you before. You're the Holy One of God. But with authority, Jesus says, be quiet, come out of him, and the demon has to obey. Comes out of the man, does him no harm, and the people are stunned. We've never seen anything like this. And reports about him went into every place in the surrounding region. So what a service it had been. Jesus Christ there, he's preaching, and something quite extraordinary happens. I want to say 2,000 years later and 2,000 miles away from those events, we are a gathered church, and although I'm the appointed preacher, it's the voice of Jesus Christ that we're privileged to hear. And if it's just me who's speaking, then really we learn nothing at all, and we might as well be a religious gathering. But the wonder about a gospel service is that it is the same Lord Jesus Christ who is preaching to his people. But back to this service here in Capernaum 2,000 years ago. What a service. What a display. A great and a public event has taken place. Something very powerful, something very extraordinary has happened, and very dramatic. Of cosmic consequences, a demon, a fallen angel, has been cast out of a poor man there. But then we come to verse 38. Jesus leaves the synagogue and enters the home of Simon. And we go from the great and the public to the first point I want to make, the gentle and the personal. And we're down now to Peter's mother-in-law. Great, public, now the gentle and the personal. Jesus, the Lord of hosts, the commander of legions, of angels, and he's also the God of Jacob. The Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, is with us, the cosmic and the individual. He's concerned about you and me. He controls galaxies right now. It struck me as we were singing one of the hymns, How Great Thou Art. Thoughts came to me about, again, the size of the universe and its immensity, and it's mind-boggling. We think about the sun that's not too far away. It's our local star, 93 million miles. If you get into a fast car right now and head on the Stellar Highway towards the sun, and you go at 200 miles an hour and you don't stop, you go 24/7, you've got enough fuel on board, it'll take you 15 years to get to the sun. And after that, if you go to the next nearest star, Alpha Proximae, at the same speed, it'll take you about 20 million years to reach the next nearest star. Our star is pretty massive, a million miles across it, a million miles. When I was just singing one of the hymns there, I did look it up. I got my phone out, and they're quite useful, these smartphones, and I thought, does this big black hole that's been discovered by the Webb Ellis telescope? It's incredible. It's called, look it up, TON 618. TON 618, a black hole that's been discovered. It's 40 sun. TON 618. And there it is, and swallowing up everything that comes into its vicinity. And Jesus is Lord. He controls the galaxies, but he's concerned about you and me. This is quite remarkable. So take it very personally. And right now he's controlling TON 618, and we've just discovered it. He knew it was there. He made it. What's it for? What's TON 618 for? I haven't got a clue. It's displaying the glory of God, though. When Webb Ellis telescope discovered it, and I looked at it, and the more we discover, the more we see, it's gobsmacking, it's amazing. But at the same time as controlling TON 618 and displaying his glory, he's concerned about you and me. And the cosmic events in the synagogue, but Peter's mother-in-law, and great and dramatic, but now gentle and personal. Her situation. Well, she had, we're told here, she had a high fever, megapyretos, a high fever. Temperature around about 39 degrees for a high fever. If you have a fever, it's about 38 degrees. Normal temperature, 36.6 or something like that. I still think in old proper temperatures, 98.4, normal, Fahrenheit. Remember Fahrenheit? Anyone remember Fahrenheit? Yeah, some nods. Fahrenheit on the front row. Oh, well, one nod there. But 100 degrees fever, 102 high fever. Peter's mother-in-law then, 102 or around about 39 degrees centigrade. So she's not feeling good at all. She's feeling pretty lousy, and she's missed the synagogue service. She's at home. She's in bed, and she has no appetite, and she has no energy. And Jesus comes in from the synagogue service that morning. He's dealt with an evil spirit. But his wonderful works will continue in Peter's home. The situation wasn't dramatic, you might think. She had a fever. She'll get over it. But they take it to the Lord in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus, the cosmic, the powerful, the dramatic, the Lord of hosts, but he's also the God of Jacob. It wasn't a kidney failure condition she had. It wasn't a brain condition. It wasn't a cancer. She's got a high fever. But whatever our situation might be, it's Jesus Christ who is the answer. Does Jesus still heal physically today? You know, churches debate that. There's no doubt he still heals today, which is why we're all still here, whether he uses medical science or not, or medicine. And today I'm so thankful, if I have a high fever, I can go into the cupboard and I can take out 2 paracetamol and I can take them and give thanks to God and my temperature comes down. Who is healing? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ still. Sometimes it's dramatic. Other times it's just what we call the normal. But it's Jesus Christ who heals. Whatever condition we have, it's all the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this setting, in Peter's home, his wonderful works will continue. Jesus Christ didn't clock off after the synagogue service. He continued to work. Continues to work. And today, the service will finish at around about, what time is it now? Here we are, 22:11. Around about 11 o'clock-ish, I will have finished preaching. I'll hand over to my son. There'll be a time of prayer. And then there'll be a final hymn around about, I don't know, 11:25 maybe, 11:30. And then the service finishes as Jesus Christ finished with you and I. Certainly not. He continues to minister. There's been a great service in the synagogue, dramatic, but then he goes to Peter's home, Simon's home, and there's the mother-in-law, and he continues to do his wonderful works. And when the service finishes here with a final hymn, Jesus Christ continues to minister and to work. And he is present with us. And I think coffee in the long room there, 2 of you are talking together, the Lord is there present with you and able to minister. Amazing things can happen in car journeys on the way home from a church. Maybe children will bring up what they've learned in Sunday school or something in the children's message or something in a sermon that struck them. And mum and dad begin to speak about that and Jesus Christ is ministering. Then you get home for your lunch and I think I'm invited to Ben and Kath's and we'll have this lovely lunch and we'll sit round the table. And it can be a bit chaotic at times, the 5 grandchildren there as well, and others sometimes in there. And Jesus Christ continues to minister. He never clocks off. He never finishes with his wonderful, wonderful ministry. And here in Simon's house on this occasion, now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. She didn't even make the request to Jesus herself. Take it to the Lord in prayer. They bring his attention to the needs of Simon's mother-in-law. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and began to serve them. Immediately. There's no delay. With us, if we're feeling lousy, we have a fever and a temperature, well, we're going to get over it, but it can be a slow process. But with Simon's mother-in-law, a word from Jesus, immediately she is restored and she gets up and begins to do what she was wanting to do and to serve them. A little application here. We can all catch a cold spiritually. We can all be under the weather spiritually. It happens so easily. How do we know it's happened? Well, we would tell by the symptoms. A lethargy and a weakness comes over us. We lose our appetite spiritually. We're inactive. We're not involved. The appeal goes up about putting up a marquee, we don't feel we can stir ourselves. It comes to the midweek meeting, and we used to enjoy being there, but we can't stir ourselves. It comes to Sunday morning, we can just about drag ourselves out Sunday morning, but when it comes to Sunday evening, where's the blessedness that I once knew? And maybe we're staying at home more and more. What's the remedy? What's the remedy? Maybe you know somebody. Maybe you know yourself. But maybe the person who should be sat there or sat there and you haven't noticed them for a while. And things seem to have crowded in. What's the answer? Well, the answer might include a visit from the pastor or an elder, but if the pastor or the elder go along thinking, well, I need to go and have a good chat to them and I need to tell them that they need to be there, well, they might come for a week or two and then they'll stop again. They might come to a prayer meeting or two out of a sense of guilt or collective responsibility. Well, I ought to be there, and the pastor's challenged me on this. But if it's just the pastor and just the elder, or just a friend, maybe as a friend, and we all have a ministry in here, what's the pastor doing about this? What are the elders? What are you doing? What am I doing? There's a collective responsibility. We, and I use it we because we're on the universal church, we are responsible for each other. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And maybe it's you who feel, well, I ought to challenge so-and-so as to why they're not there. Remember, they've caught a spiritual cold. They have a temperature. They're feeling lousy. They've lost their appetite. They're inactive. There's a difficulty. What's the answer? It's not you. It is the Lord. Now, a word from him, it could well be through you. So do pray for them and pray for the right opportunity. But when the Lord himself speaks, everything changes. And they're back. And they're regularly back. And they're feeling well, their appetite. Are you going Sunday evening? Why would I not? Why would I not? Why or why would I want to be anywhere else? What else are you going to be doing this evening? Are you hungry for more? I learned about, I mean, I admire some of my friends in ministry. They go to places like India and Nepal, and they take pastors' conferences, and they tell me about the hundreds who'll walk many miles to get to these meeting places and travel great distances and travel for days. And the pastors who come from the UK will speak, and after 45 minutes they finish. And the people are looking disappointed. Is that it? Is that it? And then another has to stand up and give another sermon straight after. Now imagine that. Andy finishes at 11 o'clock and Owen says, well, I've got a message now. And another 40 minutes, and we think, you think again, mate, we've got our dinner in the oven, and but the people are hungry. The people are hungry. I think of times, and I wasn't there in the 18th century. It might look as if I was, but I wasn't there. But people would go to Llangeitho, where Daniel Rowland was preaching on a Sunday morning. And the little church, which is still there, couldn't hold the crowds that came, so he went out and preached in the churchyard and in the fields. But on a Sunday morning, People didn't drive in their cars. They didn't catch a bus. They didn't fly in. They walked, and they would walk overnight. And when Daniel Rowlands was a church warden, came to the church door, he'd look on the hills and he'd say to the church warden, "Oh, here they come, bringing heaven with them." Their hearts were prepared. They were hungry people, spiritually healthy. But how many of us have to drag ourselves to church because we're actually not feeling quite like it? How many of us have a cold spiritually and maybe don't even know it? Oh, we're well aware about a broken leg or a kidney problem or a brain issue or a cancer, and we know it has to be treated, and we go to the right people. And who do we go to? We go to physicians, and we're so thankful for them. Who do we go to with our spiritual lethargy? There's only one who can help us, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Unless he's dominating our thinking and our hearts and our minds. Here's a hymn. I think we're going to finish with this. Or is it Climb, Climb Up Sunshine Mountain? I asked for this one, and Ben said, I don't think we know that. So I said, well, we could have Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam then. He said, I don't think we know that. And I said, Climb, Climb Up. Anyway, this is the one I think we're going to finish with. We do know it, do we? I thought you would. Give me a sight, O Saviour, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary, sun in the sky, oh why would I want to be anywhere else? It's not the hymn, that's just... Oh, make me understand it. I'm struggling, Lord, I have this lethargy. There's a spiritual cold. If it were physical, Lord, I'd go for the paracetamol, and I know it works. And given time, I'm feeling better. But Lord, I need you. Make me understand it. Help me to take it in. What it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. Oh, wonder of all wonders, that through thy death for me, my open sins, my secret sins, can all forgiven be. Oh, wonder of all wonders. Do we forget? We do. What it means to be forgiven is the greatest thing there could ever be. Give me a sight, then. Melt my heart, O Saviour. Bend me, yes, break me down until I own thee conqueror and Lord and sovereign crown. Oh, we can catch a cold spiritually. The only answer is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So there we have it. The first thing, that's the largest point I wanted to make, the gentle and the personal, verses 38 there through to 39. Now, verses 40 to 41, the great physician. Now, when the sun was setting, so the Sabbath is over, the evening has come. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. Such a dramatic morning service in Capernaum. He's gone to Simon's home. He's become the gentle and the personal. The people are struck by what had happened, and so they're coming to Jesus. They know he's in Simon's home, so they bring to him all the sick and sorrowing. Who is he to whom they bring? All the sick and sorrowing. They brought to him any who were sick with various diseases. So these words, all who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Jesus, the great physician. Now, we're very thankful again for medical professionals today. And if you're a doctor, I don't know if there are any doctors in the house here, but I know doctors, I've seen doctors, and doctors split roughly into two groups. You're either a GP, that means you're a general practitioner, and general practitioners know a little bit about a lot. and they need to do. So you're in the waiting room, and the doctor's in his room, and the tannoy goes, and Mrs. and you think, what does that say? But thankfully, in our surgery, there's a screen, and it's, I can read. And so, well, that's me, and I go to room six. Now, I know what my problem is, but say the doctor there doesn't. And he's got his long list, and you've got maybe 10, 15 minutes with him, and the surgery lasts, and he's got all these different people. Various conditions are coming in. And now, what is the difficulty? What's the problem? And you tell him your difficulties, and he's a general practitioner. He knows a little bit about a lot. And then he says, well, he takes your blood pressure and temperature and all sorts of things, asks you questions, and he says, well, I think I'm going to refer you to a consultant. And consultants are people who know a little bit, know a lot about a little, right? So I saw a kidney consultant last Wednesday. And I went in, and oh, what she doesn't know about kidneys, it's amazing. But don't digress to your big toe and your whatever it might, because she hadn't got a clue. She spent her time researching and working on this narrow band, and she knows a lot about a little. So the GP and the consultant, but Jesus Christ, the great physician, knows everything about everything. So we take it to him. We can take it to the Lord in prayer. What an amazing scene it was. And Jesus was able to deal with anything that came his way that evening. And not only was he able, but he was willing. He sent nobody away. Don't be slow to come to him personally. Don't be slow to bring people to him who can't bring themselves. It's wonderful here you finish and conclude your service with a time of prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. We can pray for those and plead for those and take them to the great physician who are not able, who are not willing to pray for themselves. You come to him. And he will meet your need. Now, what is your greatest need? You might think, oh, physical healings, they are wonderful. Yes, yes, they are. But they're minor concern with respect to the greatest need. Because the greatest need that I have and the greatest need that you have has got cosmic consequences. A physical ailment will last for the period you're here on planet Earth. But then we've got to think about forever. And forever is a long, long time. 67 next month. I used to play a game called Double Your Age. I can't play it anymore. When I was 15, I could. I thought, oh, 30. Double it again, 60. You on the back row, you probably can't double your ages again, can you? There's a gentleman there, 99. Will he live to be 198? I think it's highly, highly unlikely. But he'll never cease to exist. And I will never cease to be. Matter of where I will spend forever, which compared to 67 years, what's 67 years? It's a vapor, it's a wisp, it's a story that was told. It's a little tiny specky, specky bit of nothing. Now, heaven. It's our desired destination. Why are we restless even as Christians? Because we're not home. Heaven, glory, perfection, purity, my Father's house, forever and ever, glorious. Get to have a look at Ton 618. And it won't swallow you up. How do you get to heaven? I need a clean life. Not a good one, a pure. And a righteousness that's equal to God's, and I haven't got one. And if I go to heaven and I am a sinner, then heaven is no longer heaven. No sinner gets to heaven when I'm a sinner and you're a sinner. And our biggest problem is sin, not our physical ailments, but our spiritual disease called sin. And it's Jesus Christ alone, the great physician, who can deal with sin. You go to your doctor's surgery, oh, doctor, I feel terrible. What is it? I'm a sinner. He can't help you. I can't help you, but I know a man who can, the great physician, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to take away your sin. To get to heaven, I need a clean life, and I haven't got one. So Jesus, the eternal Son of God, becomes a man and lives a perfect life in your place. Now get this, are you saved yet? There's enough here for you to be saved now and to go out of this place knowing great relief. You don't get saved by going to church and saying prayers and singing hymns and trying to be good. You get saved through Jesus Christ alone, who lived the life you couldn't live. Perfect life. And then he dies the death that you deserve. My sin deserves hell and the wrath of God, but Jesus Christ on Calvary takes my sin on himself. God the Father puts on his own Son the punishment for my sin. In my place, condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Why did he come into the world? He came to take away my sin. And that's the focus of his preaching. I came to give my life as a ransom for many. He lived for me. He died for me. How do I know it's true? Resurrection. He rose again from the dead. He split time in two. It's 2024 because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And what do I need to do? Go to him. He's the only one who can help you. Don't come to my surgery. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner still, but a saved sinner. I'm counted righteous in Christ. I still get things wrong. But by the grace of God, by the indwelling Holy Spirit, I'm actually getting better, and I ought to be getting better, and Christians ought to be getting better, changed from glory into glory, but sinners still this side of glory. But going to heaven because of Jesus. You need to ask Christ to forgive you. Repent. Turn away from what you are and what you've done. And you only do what you do because of what you are. The problem is what you are more than what you do. But you do what you do because of what you are, a sinner. And Jesus Christ is able to save you. He lived for you. He died for you. He rose again to prove it's all true. He's the great physician who can deal with your deepest need. And that's not your physical ailment, it's your spiritual condition. And I tell you something else. One of the most intractable things to deal with in the life of a local church are not physical issues, but relational issues. And I want to say Jesus Christ is a great healer there too. You know, I think about the local church I belong to. You think about your own local churches. Is there a perfect church on planet Earth? Oh, thank you. No, there isn't. And if you think when you join a local church, oh, this is so much better than my other church. Wait till they've been there. I think it takes 2 years to begin to get to know things that are going on. That are managed and dealt with. You know, in some churches, in all churches, there's Mrs. So-and-so who won't talk to Mrs. So-and-so. There's Mr. So-and-so who doesn't get along with Mr. So-and-so. And it shouldn't be. And it really shouldn't be. Because we're family. But then, you know, I know families, and there are families where people just don't get along, but we remain family. Well, I'm going to leave this family. Well, where are you going to go? You certainly can't leave the Lord's family. And so we come for healing. We take, he's able to restore other people you haven't spoken to and you just don't get along with. Jesus is the great physician. And I tell you, far more wonderful than a physical healing or relational healing. So we'll have to see those restored. But it's the gospel. It is the gospel. And we really ought to love each other deeply from the heart. Anyway, what time is it? What time is it? I should have finished. My last point is really, really brief. It's going to take -3 minutes to do this one. The great priority 42 to 44. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. So it's now, we'd see it as the Monday morning, it's his Sunday morning, it's after the Sabbath. He goes to spend time with his father, a desolate place, a quiet time. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. This has been wonderful. Stay here. Set up your surgery in Capernaum. Stay with us. So thankful for his reply. I understand their request. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God at other towns as well. For I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Here was a message for the whole of Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. He didn't stay in Capernaum and set up a surgery there. No, his priority is to preach a message. His priority wasn't to heal physical diseases. They were temporary. You might heal somebody, but they're still going to die. The issue is sin. And he's come to preach a message. I've come to give my life as a ransom for many. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, says Jesus, and I will give you rest. I can't make that claim. He did, and he can, and he does. And we're so grateful that he left Capernaum, and he's present in Newtown Evangelical Church this morning. And he's present in the Heath Evangelical and St. Melan's Baptist Church, and he's present in every gathering. He is the great physician, but the great priority is not the healings, but it's the preaching. I must preach. The Greek word kariso means to herald, to be a town crier. We have a message to declare. And this morning, it's been preached here. And the great physician is here. And you don't have to go into a little room. At the Heath, after an evening service, you can go into the pastor's little room and have a chat. You don't have to do that. Right where you're sitting. Just turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in the time of prayer afterwards. Cry out to him silently, publicly, audibly. You need to be saved. Call out to him. Don't leave the service without him. Don't go home unsaved. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be restored. You've got that spiritual cold. Cry out to him right where you are. Relationships to be resolved. Ask the Lord to do that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this brief time in your word and how quickly time goes by. Another service has ended. We pray you will be the Lord Jesus Christ who speaks to us and meets our deepest needs, we pray. To your name be the glory. Amen.